T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Hour number two on a Wednesday. Chris Brown and Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live is the show. Players wrapping up practice. We hope to have Reggie Gilliam in here shortly, but in the interim, we will go back to the phones at 803-0550 to hear from you as we get ready for Bills Ravens on Sunday. And Matt in Rochester is next. What do you have for us, Matt?
Hey, guys. I had a question, and forgive me if I missed something. Where's Steron Neal?
Well, he's working special teams. He's a core four special teamer. And actually, Coach McDermott, who we played just last hour, was asked about why is Steron Neal not a factor in the defensive rotation at cornerback. You know, you had Jamarcus Ingram come up off the practice squad and step right into the game. And it was clear that the weather played a factor in that. They wanted Steron Neal in top form on special teams, didn't want to overtax him on defense. And so I think that was part of the reason why you didn't see him as a veteran backup call-up at the cornerback position. Might that change this week if they're still shorthanded there? It's possible, but I think they value what Steron Neal does on special teams so much that there is a concern about overtaxing him there. I think that's also a reason why we don't see Isaiah McKenzie returning punts all that often. He is the kick returner, but in terms of returning punts, that falls to Jamison Crowder because Isaiah McKenzie plays a lot more snaps this year on offense.
Yeah,
so,
I mean
it's a player usage thing.
Yeah, Coach addressed it today. They felt overall they'd be more productive with Cam Lewis coming in. Jamarcus Ingram coming in.
At corner.
And Saran playing special teams rather than having the
Cam
reverse.
Do double duty.
Right. So
they don't want him double dipping, basically.
Right. And they just felt they were overall better if they did that. And I believe me, I know what Steron Neal is going through because it was the same thing for me. They wouldn't take me off special teams to play wide out even if there was a train wreck on the way to the stadium, you know, because they had guys – they just didn't want to take me off teams.
Yeah.
So it's the way it goes. I mean, it's a real consideration head coaches got to deal with, and they made the call. So, yeah, it's he addressed that, and that's the reason. They wanted to stay. They felt overall, both on special teams and on defense, they'd be more productive with that personnel combination.
Right. And I get it. And it could change. I mean, if the weather's more favorable,
if they know it
not
going
as
in,
taxing.
If they know it going in, yeah, they might do it differently because they could prepare to do it. But on the fly, they didn't want to do that.
Right. And let's not forget this, too. They lost one of their core special teamers in the first half of that game in Jake Kumerow, who was double-dipping and got injured. And, you know, that's a concern, too. You can get hurt on any given play. And Jake Kumerow gets hurt in the first half as a wide receiver, can't play the rest of the game. So special teams was already down one of their core special teamers. You put Steron Neal out there on defense at corner. Now you're exposing him to extra snaps and extra risk of injury, not to mention losing more water, you know, getting dehydrated, playing more snaps. So if they were thinking about not playing Saran Neal at corner, after Jay Kumerow, one of their other core special teamers, gets hurt, you can best believe there was no way he was going to see the field on defense after watching that happen.
Right.
Because then you're down another important special teams player. Now you're thin on defense, you're thin on special teams combined, and now you're even a weaker team in terms of all three phases. So that's kind of where I think the thinking went on that front. So there you go. And, you know, going into this week's game, as we mentioned, weather could be a factor again in a much different way, not heat, but wet conditions, windy conditions, with Hurricane Ian pretty much a Cat 5 as they're making landfall in southwest Florida. By the time we get to the weekend, the track has the storm going up the eastern seaboard, and right now the forecast is 70% chance rain and winds of about 20 to 25 miles per hour. So that's nothing to sneeze at. That is impactful on an NFL game. I looked it up last night because I couldn't remember, Steve, whether M&T Bank Stadium had natural grass or turf. When they first opened, it was natural grass, but because of field condition issues, particularly late in the season down there, you know, late November, December, home games were a problem with the grass, they switched over to turf in 2002. They've updated in the years since, and they are a turf field. So hopefully drainage is not an issue. You won't have mud as an issue either if they have torrential rains, you know, through the course of Sunday. But the forecast is
it's not good
for plenty of rain. It's crazy. I was looking at some of the forecasts for Florida. Like Daytona Beach is supposed to get between 12 and 18 inches of rain. It's like a foot and a half of rain. And what is the thing? It's 1 inch of rain is 10 inches of snow. Think about that. 18 inches of snow. 18 inches of rain would be 180 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Think over 12 feet of snow.
The thing is, too, they're supposed to get that rain between 12 and 18 inches of rain on top of a 6 to 8 foot storm surge.
Right. Well, I mean, you're inland in Daytona, at least. Well,
yeah, they're not not Daytona Beach.
Not Daytona Beach, no.
You're sorry. Yeah, it's catastrophic. This storm is catastrophic.
I was thinking of Orlando, because Orlando is going to get about 12 inches of rain, too. They're obviously in central Florida, but still, it's an issue.
The whole...
Yeah, 12 inches of rain anywhere, it's an issue.
Right. It's bad, folks. And check on your loved ones in Florida. And we had a guy call in from, where did he call in from today?
He didn't say, he just said he's in Florida. He said, we're battening down the hatches here. He didn't tell us where he was specifically.
It's catastrophic, and there's a chance we're going to lose some lives. It's bad. It's really bad. So when you sit here and talk about the Bills game coming up in Baltimore, there's some serious stuff going on.
All right, we just got an updated weather forecast for Sunday, and now the wind forecast has dropped considerably. Now they're only expecting 10-mile-per-hour winds. Well, that's good news. And where are we? Sunday, or 15 miles per hour. Sorry, I was reading the wrong Sunday. 15-mile-per-hour winds. Chance of rain is now down to 52%. Saturday, the rain is supposed to be 94%. The good news is they can keep the field covered on Saturday. So the rain showers are supposed to be dissipating come Sunday to some degree there. But, you know, we're still 4 or 5 days out.
Oh.
So the track of the storm is going to impact that forecast. Right now it's a very slow-moving storm, 10 miles per hour. I mean, it's just that's why the rain total forecasts are so high, because the thing's moving at a snail's pace. It's not whipping across the peninsula of Florida.
That's one of the bad things as well, because it's the storm surge spends so long on each site where it moves to. It's a slow-moving storm, and each one, I guess, has its up pluses and minuses. The minus is that it takes a long time to go across, and it's going to have every opportunity to tear everything up. It's a bad storm, man. It is so bad.
So we'll see. I mean, it'll have some kind of impact on the game, hopefully not a major impact. Wanted to remind you, we're waiting to catch up with Reggie Gilliam, Bill's fullback, who should be on set here with us in just a little bit of time, because we heard the music stop at practice. It's audible from here. So practice is wrapping up for Wednesday, and we also hope to bring you some comments from the podium as the players address the media after practice. And then coming up at 2:30, we hope to catch up with former Ravens tight end Daniel Wilcox, who now does the Believe in Ravens podcast for his coverage of the Ravens. Like to get some thoughts from him, being a former tight end, on Mark Andrews, who really is just tearing it up in terms of production. He's been unbelievable over the last year. As a matter of fact, he's been a more productive tight end than even Travis Kelce has for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is difficult to stop. Just a big, physical dude that can really tear it up. So be interesting to see. And he's the leading receiver for the Ravens this year. No surprise there, even though they use Rashad Bateman and they also use Devin Duvernay. You know, they're big deep threats who have been big play threats. But right now, fresh off the field is Reggie Gilliam, Bills fullback, and fresh off the field interviews brought to you by Austin Air, the official clean air provider of the Buffalo Bills. Thanks for taking some time here. You're still in your pants. Thanks for coming straight here. We appreciate it.
You having me.
I've been fascinated by Coach Dorsey's usage of the 21 personnel here early in the season. That's got to make you happy as well. It was funny. We had Roger Saffold in here a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, how you're being used in a multitude of ways within the scope of the offense, Reggie. And he said, yeah, Reggie comes into the huddle sometimes. He's like, all right, what am I? Like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, there's been a few times where I have to, you know, I hear a play and I'm just like, okay, I know what he's got. I'm just like, which one am I? Right, it just takes a second to register it all. So.
Yeah, that's one of the things about it. You're kind of more flexible. He came in as a tight end, moved you to fullback. And it really is, and it doesn't feel like this when it happens, but it really is a testament to how bad they want to keep you on the field and your versatility. What have they told you about your role going forward, and what do they tell you week to week, particularly in a game like this?
It's just really the more you can do. That's what they always tell me. It's like, okay, we're going to put you here. We're going to see if you can handle this. You know, it's just don't blink. You got to keep rolling with it.
Right.
Were you emergency tight end by the end of that game last week? Because it was basically Quentin Morris and nobody else. I had to believe you were like tight end two at that point if they needed to turn to somebody else.
Really, I'm emergency anything. So so if we're down anywhere, I can fill in.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking up and down the roster. I was like, well, it's probably Reggie if something happens to Quentin.
Give us an idea about the atmosphere on the sideline. As this game was going and everybody was starting to melt a little bit.
Yeah.
What was the atmosphere and the conversations on the sideline?
There was a lot of people just trying to keep each other up because, you know, tough atmosphere, you know, baking in the sun. So it's like, okay, we got to keep pushing like we're still in this game. Let's finish strong and we can rest later. So,
yeah. Right. And the forecast is still a few days away. It looks like weather could be a factor again this week in a much different way.
You're probably happy
that it's a – right. You're probably happy it's a turf field, though, because when you're playing on turf, even if it's a monsoon, your footing is usually pretty good. Sometimes that synthetic grass, though, can get slick, right? Like, maybe just walk us through, like, are you using a longer cleat when it's super rainy, even if it's turf, or what are you doing there? What's the choice?
See, turf is tricky because there's so many different types of turf. Like, I don't know the, like, political names for them or whatever. Like, you could feel it. You know, some are more soft, some are bouncy, some are hard. So it's just like you don't really know until you get out on the field. So, you know, it's smart to take.
Pre-game will be important.
Yeah, take a few pairs of cleats and go try them out in pre-game and see which one feels best for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And as you get in there, you know, this is a different kind of team as well. Early thoughts on facing this defense?
They're a great defense. They got a great front. A lot of big guys on the front line. So, you know, we're going to have a great plan to put us in best position and be successful.
What do you make of their unicorn of a fullback? You know, fullbacks respect fullbacks.
Yeah.
But Patrick Ricard, man, guy's 305.
Yeah.
That's a unicorn among fullbacks, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his work. So, actually, he was a D-tackle.
Yeah, but he was just like a
freaky, you know, he's a freaky athletic D-tackle, so I'm sure they were just like, let's put this guy at fullback, see what he can do. So, obviously, he's a, you know, phenomenal blocker, but he can also move with the ball in his hands. So, for 305, that's
I mean, they ask him to do a lot for a reception. Big dude. It's not like just clear this guy out of the hole. He does a lot of stuff.
He had a reception last week.
Yeah, for a first down. Yeah. It was like a 13-yard gain, I think.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
It is.
Red zone, in the eyes of many, is kind of what cost you guys the game last week. I realize you were playing, not that this is an excuse, but you had only the left side of your line left by the end of the game, which obviously can impact consistency, knowing how to play off one another, combination blocks, etc. What has to change down there in the red area going forward here to make sure you guys are more consistent about finishing drives in the end zone?
This comes down to execution. You know, we need to do what, you know, Dorsey is putting in plan for us, you know, no matter who's in there. You know, they always say next man up. So that's the mentality we have to go into with it. You know, we might lose a few more or, you know, whoever's coming back. I'm not sure yet. But either way, whoever's in there, it's execution.
Who's imitating Lamar in practice?
Today it was Tavon Austin.
See, it was right.
We were kind of
messing with each other, taking bets
who
would be. And I said, I think it's going to be Tavon. Because as far as a running guy, he would make sense from a skill set. Like, you want to mimic how fast Lamar is. He's not as tall, obviously, but you want to mimic
Lamar's
speed.
Yeah, he looked good out there, though. He completed a few passes.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It doesn't spell good things for Sunday, though, if you got Tavon Austin completing passes.
Okay, so why don't we look at maybe the complexion of this game, because, you know, you guys want to get back on the winning track, obviously, but you got a team that historically is tough to beat in that building. I mean, under John Harbaugh, the Ravens have like a 71% winning percentage down there. It's a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. How do you... And you're on offense. You know it's going to be loud. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys use silent count out the wazoo, and coaches got music blaring all the time, so it just becomes like a white noise thing that you guys can kind of overlook. But what is the approach when you know you're encountering a hostile environment?
Well, we know what we're getting into, and we know we're going to be in preparation, you know, to put ourselves in the best position to be successful. You know, Doris and Sean, you know, they're going to have a great plan for us. And you just said, you know, the music blaring and silent counts. And, you know, I just listen to what they tell us to do. I know they'll take care of it for us.
What kind of good-natured ribbing has Ken Dorsey taken after he tore apart the press box after the game?
Dorsey's a very...
Those guys got to be all over, right?
Yeah, he's a very passionate guy, passionate to say the least. But
right.
You know, that's just how Dorsey, you know, I don't want to say that's how he is, but, like, he's, you know, he's fired up about his job, and he loves what he does. So for that to happen, you know, unfortunate situation, you know, his true colors showed some there, but that's Dorsey.
You factored into the passing game in the Tennessee game, obviously. You know, you took that screen, broke a tackle, got in for the touchdown. And then last week, Motor, James, I mean, even Zach, factored into the passing game in a big way. I think the backs had like 15, 16 catches last week. I know that Devin was largely a safety valve option for Josh there, but what does that do for the room when, you know, you're contributing in a way that maybe not a whole lot of people expect? If they expect you guys to get handed the ball, but 15, 16 receptions, I mean, that's big for the running back room.
So, with Dorse, anybody can be anywhere. So it's like you can't just know your spot. You may have to know a couple spots. Like me, like I have to know all the spots.
Yeah, right. What am I?
So exactly. So it doesn't matter, you know, what position you are by roster label. It's
like
you could be catching as many passes as a receiver one.
So you get out of this game Sunday, and you're looking towards this one. You got a whole Thursday, Friday, Saturday, three more days before Sunday. How has it gone in the recovery? Because I know it was a really rough physical game this last weekend, and the heat and the humidity and everybody falling out.
Yeah, getting rehydrated.
How has it gone this week trying to bounce back from that?
You know, a lot of guys have their routines, and I think it's just staying in our routine, you know, staying on the same preparation track, getting in the training room, doing whatever you need to do to be ready to go. So.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, the had yesterday off, so a lot of guys were in there getting right. You know, IVs, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, Reg, listen, thanks for stopping in, especially fresh off the field there. We'll let you hit the showers and kind of get in the classroom and do what you got to do for the rest of the day today. We appreciate it. Good luck on Sunday.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks. All right. That's Reggie Gilliam joining us here on One Bills Live. And we will take a break. When we come back, we'll have Josh Allen for you at the podium as he'll be addressing the media after practice here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Players are addressing the media at the post-game lectern, so let's go there now where Josh Allen is addressing the media.
The Ravens and Lamar Jackson being on that opposite side. Like, you have time to reflect back on the 18, knowing that you were part of that draft class, and you showed you and Lamar going to that
exactly. I mean, not really. You know, I typically try to focus on the here and now, but it is crazy to think about. I know that, you know, you just brought it up, and you know, Lamar's he's an MVP player. He's playing really, really good football right now. So, you know, we're going into a hostile environment. We got to find a way to put our best foot forward. I think, you know, it's simple as we're doing what's asked of us. You know, there's a lot of different notions and opinions about both of us coming out of the draft. You know, and we're just trying to find ways to help our team win football games. And, you know, he does it as good as anybody in the league. So, again, it's no simple task for our defense to go out there and play a guy like his caliber. And it's no simple task for our offense to go against a defense and a team of their caliber with the head coach that they've got and the continuity that they've had in Baltimore for a long time. So, again, we got to have a good week and prepare for you know, our toughest battle yet.
For you, first of all, the short yardage situations, we asked Dorsey and Sean about it, and they acknowledged that you guys, when it's third and one, third and two, you guys have struggled. How do you improve on that situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, mindset, execution, that all kind of comes into play, and just, you know, calling a play and sticking with it, and me not trying to do too much, and, you know, trusting, you know, all 11 guys on the field to go out there and execute a job. So, you know, we've been put in a lot of those situations, and, you know, we're only going to get better at those, but we got to continue to practice those and find new ways to get our playmakers the ball. And, you know, I got no doubt in my mind that that's what Dorsey will do. He'll find whatever's best suitable for us and try to apply it to our game plan. But ultimately, when we're out in the field, we got to go out there and execute.
Rough as the playmakers. Dawson Knox kind of off to, I mean, 9 catches, off to a little bit of a slow start. I know a lot of that is you're getting the ball to digs. But do you need to find a way to get Dawson a little bit more incorporated into this?
I mean, absolutely, we'd love to get everybody the ball. At the end of the day, you know, Dawson's doing what he's asked to do, you know, whether it's blocking an end or getting out for checkdowns or running routes. And I got no doubt that those will eventually pop. You know, there's going to be times where he's asked to do a lot for us. There's going to be times where he's not asked to do a lot for us. So that goes with everybody else on the football field as well. And I know he's staying patient and he's just ready to do his job, whatever that is. But yeah, I'd love to find ways to get him the ball and get him, you know, more involved because he is such a weapon and an asset for this team. Yeah, it was a, you know, we were, I think everybody here, was pretty tired, you know, just the energy that one took. But you know, we were back in the building on Monday, obviously our off day yesterday, just trying to catch up on rest and guys getting in the training room, whether it's, you know, massages or going through rehab, hot tub, cold tub, sauna, steam room, all that stuff that, you know, professional football players need to do to get ready to go on Sunday. And, you know, we got a lot of real, real professional football players in here that understand what's asked for them, or asked of them, I should say. And, you know, they're just trying to do their job and feel the best that they can feel for Sunday. And, you know, it's a constant grind each and every week, and that's why this league's so hard. You know, you got to play through some pain sometimes, and we had a lot of guys that are doing that. So I got a lot of respect for our guys for, you know, handling their business the right way.
Sean and 63 times Sunday, there were 90 plays. You know, there were times where they're stacking the line of scrimmage 7, 8 men across. You know, and when you see that and there's man coverage and a couple touchdowns that way, I mean, do you see it as a problem? I wouldn't imagine you have any problem throwing it 63 times if that's what the game and the defense calls.
Yeah, whatever's asked, you know, of us on offense is what we're trying to do. Now we got to be better in some critical areas of that game and play better situational football. And there's some things that we missed that we'd like to have back. But, you know, it's on to Baltimore, and we'll be able to use whatever we learned on Sunday, you know, for this upcoming week and weeks to come. You know, you never like losing games, especially the way we lost them. But there's still a lot of good that we can take out of that game, and a lot of learning opportunities that we can take out. So and guys got in there, looked at the film, and, you know, we've turned our attention and focus towards Baltimore.
Getting the running game going is something that Coach has talked about. And how important do you think that that is to you guys' success on offense, and how do you think that you can spark the running game here going forward?
Yeah, I'd say just trusting it, trusting actually the guys that have the ball in their hands, trusting our 5, 6 guys up front. Tight ends included, you know, just sticking with it. You know, it's not going to be perfect every single time we call a run play, and we're not asking for it to be perfect. We're just, you know, we're asking for, you know, it to be ID'd the right way and guys giving max effort and, you know, making sure that I'm putting us in the right calls and situations to go out there and run them. So that's really all it takes.
Your first response to Mark about Sean had said you were pretty sore, understandably, coming out of that game. You had the hand issue, whatever. Do you have any lingering effects of that at all that are impacting you as you get ready for it?
No, we're ready to go. And I know there's some, as I said, there's guys battling some soreness and some minor things that, you know, they're gritting through. Like I said, we got a lot of professional guys on this team that are handling it the right way and staying in late and getting extra work in the training center and, you know, hot tub, cold tub, and all that, like I said. So, you know, we got to find ways to get back on the field, stay on the field.
Dorsey kind of blew up at the end of the game. It seemed to reflect the larger frustration, you know, about inability to close games, finish games. Are you sharing some of that? Like 7 in a row.
No, I don't think it was that frustration at all. You show me someone that's okay with losing, I'll show you a loser. You know, he's passionate about his job and what he does. We all feel the same way. We just want to win football games, and that's it. Now, every game is a different situation. Obviously, we've got to find ways to win them, but, you know, we're working through that, and we don't see that as a problem at all.
What do you remember about that first game?
Well, it's looking like it's going to be similar weather to that game, and it was torrential downpour in that first one. And actually going there at halftime, I remember how the ball felt. It was kind of a weird, tacky ball, and again, it was just torrential downpour. So, you know, just got to make sure that we're ready for that, and the crowd's going to be pretty loud. Obviously, again, with their coaching staff and Coach Harbaugh, he seems like he's got those guys ready to go every single year, every single week of every single year. It's no different with this team. They're playing hungry right now, and they got some ball hawks on defense. So we got to find ways to, you know, get our playmakers the ball and make some plays. Yeah. Again, I can say this for Lamar. I mean, he's an extremely hard worker. You know, as am I, and you know, guys respect him and love how he plays the game of football, and he has a lot of fun doing it. I have a lot of fun doing it. Again, he's playing as good as anybody in the league right now, and you know, making sure that, you know, points are a priority this week, the ball is a priority this week, and You know, we got to go find a way to win the game.
In terms of, like, his improvement as a passer, I mean, there are questions about your accuracy, and you've more than answered them now, but that was the kind of the question about him. What have you seen from him quarterback to quarterback in his evolution?
I mean, he just does his job. I don't really evaluate, you know, quarterbacks too much. Just trying to focus on what I can do. But, I mean, again, he's won an MVP, and he's playing at MVP level right now. And, you know, given all the drama and the details that are going on with all that contract situation that, you know, he's got going on, he's just like, you know, I'm going to bet on myself, and I'm pretty sure it's going to pay off. Yeah, I think obviously being better in situational football, and again, every game presents its own opportunities and obstacles that we got to find a way to fight through. And, you know, this last one being in critical situations, you know, right before the half, making sure that, you know, I get the snap cleanly and find a way to snap, you know, spike the ball and allow ourselves to kick a field goal there, or if it's a mindset or decision that we can change throughout the game and make sure that we're all on the same page. But again, you're going to have games like that where you do have mishaps in order to clean them up, you know, and we're just happy that it happened in week 3 and not, you know, week 17.
When you go through such a grueling game like that, mentally, physically, how do you kind of flip the script for the next week? You've got to get ready for another touchdown.
That's why we play the game. That's why we get, you know, paid to do what we do, and, you know, trust in the leadership on this team and the guys in the locker room to go out there and handle their business. Thank you, guys.
So Josh pretty much confirmed his hand's fine, not to worry. And he said they are preparing in the event that it is a wet game. He said he's played in some rain games before. They played in a lot of them here at home last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll be prepared for that. I was incorrect. It is a grass surface in Baltimore. So I was reading up on it last night. It was originally grass. They changed to turf in 2002. And then apparently they decided to change back to grass in 2016. So they are a grass surface, so mud could be – I mean, they'll have the thing covered until Sunday at like 11.
Yeah, they'll uncover it, but when you cover those things up with a tarp, those tarps
– they hold the moisture in the grass too because it can't escape.
It's wet underneath the tarp. Yeah. I don't know what people – I mean, I don't know why. They cover it, I guess. I don't know for what reason. Keeps people off of it, I guess. But the simple fact of the matter is they take that tarp off. The tarp's not waterproof, apparently.
I don't know why. Why wouldn't it be waterproof? Isn't that the whole purpose of
the ground's
tarp
wet
down?
Underneath there. It always is. You pull that thing back, it's just as wet underneath it as it is on top.
Yeah.
I don't know what – I don't know how that doesn't do a better job, but you'll see. I mean, yeah, unless – you know, it doesn't rain or it rains early or waits till later, it's going to be a wet game. Field's going to be cruddy.
Slick. Yeah. So grass surface is what they're dealing with. And, yeah, if it gets really sloppy, the advantage offense there, right? Because the old adage is if it gets sloppy and the field conditions are inconsistent, the offense has the advantage because they know where they're going. The right. defense has to react to that, and all you need is one slip and you got a problem.
The defense is always a quicker reaction kind of thing, and the offense can set up their steps so that they can make the cuts. Defense doesn't know where they're going, so they have to plant harder to react. And if it comes out like that, yeah. I've seen games like this turn into – I've been a part of some games that turn into shootouts because the footing is just the right level of bad. But if it's bad, it's bad. You can't – because it works – the ripple effects are – you know, you kind of don't think about it. It's a ripple effect for the offensive line, for the defensive line, for the linebackers, for the running backs coming out, for the quarterback dropping back and then trying to gauge how bad the footing is for a guy that's 20 yards away and how is he going to come out of his break. Is if I let this go and he slips a little bit, we're not going to get there. So they hold it a half second longer,
right?
And they end up getting their head beat in by a defensive lineman who's got that extra time. So while the receiver might come open more, it takes him a little half second longer to get there, and there's no guarantee that half second's going to be available to the quarterback to wait. And he's going to have to wait because he doesn't know if that guy's coming out of his breaks sharp. So, yeah, the uncertainty of it is what squashes you. And, you know, there's always uncertainty in those conditions on a field. So
right. And a grind-it-out game, you know, if it comes to
that. Yeah, people are reminding us today, you know, our running game is not our forte. It's going to be hard to grind it out. You don't have a grounded-out offense. Right. You got to throw it offense.
There is a way to use a short passing game to double as a running game. We saw some of that last week against the Dolphins. I mean, he was checking it down to Motor early in that game to beat some of the pressure packages that Miami threw at Josh in the passing game, and it worked pretty well. I mean, it wound up – they even blitzed down at the goal line, and Josh threw it right over the blitzer to Motor for the first touchdown of the game. So it's not like Josh is incapable of beating the blitz. He's done it an untold number of times over the last few years. So what is Baltimore's approach? I mean, I don't know if there's – quite as aggressive as Miami is, but getting pressure has been an issue for them, so they've had to send extra people when they want to send pressure because Justin Houston's dealing with a groin injury. He's trying to play through it, but has been relatively ineffective. And Odafe Owe, their former first-round pick from 2021, who came off the board even before Greg Rousseau, has had trouble getting home too. He's really light in the pants. That was the knock on Owe coming out of Penn State, that, hey, does he have the bulk to help you set the edge in the run game, and can he win with more than just pure speed off the edge as a pass rusher? I think the jury is still out on that, but it's part of the reason they signed Jason Pierre-Paul as a street free agent this past week, and there's a good chance that we see JPP on the field this weekend.
Right. See, Owe's a little bit like the Bills guys, except he's listed an outside linebacker. He's like A.J. Epinesa and Greg Rousseau. He's
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
6'5", 257. He's right in there, you know. So,
and I think that's generous looking at him.
Right. So that's the kind of guy he is. Now that, you know, those guys can play because we've got two of them on our team or three of them on our team. So it'll be interesting to see what Owe does. But obviously they want to get him some help anyway. So maybe in a grinded out game, a guy like Owe has trouble standing up. I don't know. I doubt that an outside linebacker in a 3-4 is not very good at setting the edge. I imagine he's pretty good at it.
Yeah. We'll take a break here. When we come back, Steve and I with some final thoughts next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Just to bring you up to speed, we mentioned it earlier on the show, Dane Jackson back out at practice today on a limited basis, had a red non-contact jersey on, but just good to see him out there. He has since addressed the media since practice ended, And he was asked, you know, about the neck injury, and he said, after all the tests that were done, he was really just sore from getting his neck bent back very awkwardly.
Yeah, you think?
He said, but it was nothing more than that. And he said he has watched the hit and the play from the Tennessee game. He said it makes his back hurt when he watches it. But it was great to see him back out there at practice. He's smiling. You know, he's back with his teammates. And, Steve, if he comes through this week well, he may play on Sunday, which I think 2 weeks ago people might have thought, that's crazy.
That's why it's such – you just don't know. The game is such a the physicality of the game, when you see – like the Micah Hyde hit looked totally innocuous. He's out for the season.
Yeah.
The Dane Jackson hit looked catastrophic. He's back after a week.
It's amazing.
You just never know how that goes. You got guys running down the field untouched and snapping their ACLs. Then yeah. You got other guys that look like they get tossed into a tree grinder and spit out the other side, and they walk away like they tied their shoe. There's nothing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
There's no rhyme or reason to
there isn't, and that's why it's such a wild card in the season, and that's why the Bills over this last week, it's like, what? You know,
yeah.
Like the roster is like unrecognizable.
But if Dane can play, that would be huge for their secondary depth. We saw Jordan Poyer out there as well. That's good news. Hopefully this team's on the mend. We'll see you tomorrow at 1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.